would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Machine Podcast, episode 79 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners, and today's episode is back to the way we should be doing things, which is episode 79.
It's been a while.
Wagon train scenario.
Wagon train!
Wagon train! Get him up! Rid him up! Rid him up! Rid him up!
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario. It's one that I've been waiting to play for a little while.
Yes, yeah.
We did it off camera.
Yes, we did.
Because we were doing a bit of unpainted.
That's because the studio is still in building, and this is the coldest day we've had of the year, I think, isn't it?
They're saying it's the coldest December since whenever.
Is it?
Apparently, it's pretty cold for December.
It is cold.
Well, you wouldn't know, but if you had no heating and no roof on your house, you'd know.
So if you live in a tent, it's cold.
Yeah, it's pretty cold, man. So the weekend consists of me starting a fire and staying by the fire as long as possible.
Wow, back to basics.
It's like
good old Brexit.
Good old Brexit. Fantastic.
Excellent.
So what else is So we're going to talk about that.
Yep.
Wagon train, and we're going to do the normal Paul's world, Barry's very small world, and other bits and bobs. So let's get it on, man.
Let's get it on.
Now you've got 2 weeks of pent up fullness to get out. So
it's not been my fault we haven't had an episode.
Get it out.
Okay, so things of note. I played a mega battle of Warmaster with Phil and Rodders. It was supposed to be Barry.
It was.
But somebody couldn't make
couldn't make it.
So I just organised it, but I won't turn up.
You organised it, not me.
Anyway, so what we did was we played destroying the village.
Defend
the village.
You were, they were destroying. You were supposed to be defending.
Yeah, basically.
That's where it went wrong.
The way we did it was we just like, don't worry about points. We'll just bring as much painted stuff that matches Empire or the Grand.
Now, that sounds like a mistake to start with, because from my limited understanding, the Chaos stuff tends to be far more expensive. Like, one unit of Chaos Warriors is like 6 units of Halberdiers.
Yeah. So what it was is, it was the Empire, well, the Grand Alliance of Empire was Empire with some Kislev allies, just a few units, and some Dogs of War, which I brought along. That rate came to at a quick pointage afterwards, because I was like, that seemed really unbalanced. Was about 4,000 points. Chaos Alliance was my Chaos Army, Phil's Chaos Army, Rodder's Beastman Army, and my Demons allies as well. Demons.
Oh my god.
That weighed at about 8,000 points, roughly. That's very roughly. So, like, at least twice as much.
So they were making sure the village went.
There was so much Chaos stuff, they had to come on. Other brigades had to come on later on the game.
What did they call it? Reserve reinforce?
Yeah, it's like, because they couldn't all set up.
Because you had quite a big deployment zone.
It looked great. It looked, it was full of Chaos models.
Wow.
Yeah. All painted. All looked the table. Honestly, it was great
any,
fun.
Any lookers on?
Lots of them. Well, basically, because I thought it was hilarious. So we've, the three of us there. Now, I can't take credit for like all the painting. But the three of us there with a finished table as well, looking spectacular. Just next to us was a game of Shadespire happening, where Andy had three Stormcasts, which he hadn't painted.
The three.
And Dave had seven undead models, which he'd half painted. One of them is coming out of the ground, so that doesn't even count as half a model. That's like half a model. And it's like, that's you doing that. And then us doing this table. And I was like, I mean, as much as I'm quite interested to try Sage Spire when the Skaven turn up, but it's like, look at the differences here.
I'll cut my nose off, just bite my face. I don't care, I'm not playing it. Might be the best game they've ever done.
Maybe.
I don't want to play with Space Marines.
Anyway, so it was fantastic. And what the game showed, so the game, basically the Chaos steamrolled of the Empire quite, but what it showed was how beautiful the game scales up.
The harpies burn stuff down?
No.
Because I would have thought, they've got hands.
No, we ruled no.
And
we
also ruled, just all beaks.
We also ruled that Chaos Hounds can't do it either.
Oh, no, that is filth.
Yeah, like,
Chaos Hounds. We've got 27,000 units of Chaos Hounds.
Can they burn? They've got torches in their mouths.
They count in the rules.
Yeah, they could in the rules, but we ruled not. So we...
See, I'd be happy with harpies.
Yeah, I suppose they're more...
They're cows sound. They're more like human-y.
Yeah, yeah.
They're women, aren't they?
Yeah, well, kind of. I don't know what they are, really. But anyway, so the game was great. It was really good fun. We managed to play it in one club night quite quickly. Yeah, quite easily.
Wow.
Yeah,
how did you do the combat set quickly? I mean, these are dead, these are dead.
No, I didn't do... I mean, only when it was really obvious. Well, we did roll most of the dice.
Obvious, like, every time Halberdiers fight Chaos Warriors. These are dead.
Like, <"Whoa!" laughs> this guy got shoes. Like... oh, dear. Right, okay. So, that was spectacular. And as I said, it showed how beautiful this game can be. And that's really... I mean,
and how many points you can get on a 6x4? Because you didn't need much bigger, I wouldn't have thought.
No. So the other things I'll point out, I've been painting Empire. So I've had a couple of night shifts, and I've got a few more Empire units to totally do, which is a couple of unit pistoliers and some skirmishes and like little flotsam and jetsam stuff, like excess characters. And yeah, I'm just working on that at the moment, so that's what I've been painting.
Went to GuildCon, SteamCon.
Oh, sorry, yeah, SteamCon, yes,
Steam GuildCon,
yes. Yeah. But I don't, yeah, this isn't. I mean, this is a. And also, I went to SteamCon, which was Steamforge's big
3-day
convention, 3-day convention. What I really liked going to the seminars on the Saturday, because it was a, there was Sherm was talking fluff, and that was interesting to watch your friend at work, basically.
Yeah.
You know, 60 people were listening.
People getting because. I've seen people get really into fluff, man.
Yeah, man.
They get really.
I mean, like, I didn't know, like, any... I didn't have a fluff question to ask, and I was scared to ask him. It might show that I don't... I've already... like, the answer's already in there. I'm like, I better not ask anything.
Have you got any characters with hats?
Yeah. So, I just listened, and it was interesting. So, like, just... I wanted to see my friend at work. And also, the designer game seminar was really interesting with DC, because it's just basically luck. Yeah, like, everything's luck at the end of the day. You have a good idea, but to publish it well and everything...
Same as anything in life.
Yeah, it's all...
Talent isn't enough. Talent plus luck.
Talent plus luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
In anything.
And that was really interesting. And the designer model was really good because it's all 3D and done in front of you. And it was like, yeah, they've got a good thing going.
Well, I said they do now these single-piece hard plastics.
Yeah.
I think the base might be added on separately at a later point.
It's kind of designed like base. Yeah, but
there's little pegs in.
But basically, this guy, their chief designer, has it all on file. Everything they've done. So it was a veteran model of Harmony, and she.
It's Ross. Ross.
Yeah. And he took obviously the original model, and then just started making changes on it. And it's like He's very good at what he does.
But he
was doing it quick. Like that model was done in under a day. You know,
He's very quick.
Yeah.
But they've now... I don't know what the process... I have to speak to Matt or something. The process of hard plastics is beyond anybody else in the market because they're doing one-piece hard plastics with absolutely tons of detail.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they've got a guy with about 16 different swords pointing out in every direction.
Yeah.
So it's not
one
like...
piece, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they've got some new kind of injection molding.
I don't know.
It's not getting the metal in. Yeah, it's getting the mold apart.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're doing it.
Because
these aren't like your... Airfix one-piece hard plastic crap. There's quite a lot going on these.
Yeah, exactly. They're very nice. And they're lovely to paint as well. Like, having painted some, like the new Masons from the kickoff set, they're nice, really easy to paint. Anyway, so that was really interesting, the seminars. I only played the Guild Ball games against people I knew. I don't want to go into a plus and negative about my thoughts about some con that isn't related to our podcasts, etc. But it was interesting to attend, and then they in their keynote they showed off their new thing, which is a game called God Tier, which is a fantasy skirmish game, which will seem to be the same quality I'm sure they've been doing. So it's like it's been, and it takes, you know, and something I've found out is how long things take to develop. Like,
well, take to make in
take
China.
To make, yeah. Well, no, just develop in general. And so this has been years planning and is now released. Like, okay, the company's going to do that. So it's interesting. Yeah.
But they had a social, yeah? Because that's one thing we'll need to do at the London GT. We'll have to have a social on Saturday night.
There is a set social. I think so, yeah. I think there's one for the convention, but we should make sure that we're doing something for the Warmaster guys, yeah.
Yeah, because maybe... because I know East London relatively well, and we're in Stratford. Yeah. If we can get a little bit nearer into town, you can get to some really good curry shops.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah, and that's probably what
on
everyone,
Commercial Lane or Brick Lane.
That's what we'd suggest to everyone to do. Okay. So I did that. I've got the new set of Necromunda, which has turned up.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you want to pull it down from the shelf there while I can shut the door?
Shut the door.
Keep the heat in.
Well, there's heat, is there?
Not much.
I'm used to no heat. It really doesn't bother me. I've got thermal socks on.
I've got thermals on.
And we've got... it's a big old beast.
Big old beast of a box.
So this is your £90 box set, is it?
No, I got it for £70 because Rid got... It's all discounted.
Yeah, but that's about £90 retail, isn't it?
So it has the two gangs in it. The models aren't there.
You've off the gangs already?
Yeah, because I know the gang I want to do, which is Dalac. Yeah, and then the scenery piece. I really like
this. This is just non-models, all this weight.
Yeah, 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 have a look. Yeah.
Jesus, right.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all the board pieces to play it 2D with those pieces, those three.
Okay, so we've got. Oh, they're quite heavy, aren't they? These are like. Well, what were these in originally? Like Space Hulk? These kind
they
of
look
doors.
Like. But they are new things. But yeah, they look along those designs, yeah.
And a lot of weighty cardboard boarding and some cards. Yeah, yeah. Some dice or something. Okay. Looks very nice. This is the 2D base set.
You say 2D. I mean, it is a 3D game played on a 2D surface. I really like that as an idea, and they're doing more of that scenery as well. So because in the two supplements which are up on the shelf there of Necromunda and the gang first one Gang War,
right.
They gives you the rules how to play on 3D scenery as well, like true 3D, like so climbing up and down basically.
Okay.
But they've really revised the rule set. It's not Necromunda as you knew it. It is different. But it looks really good. Actually, it looks solid as a game system. And look, it looks like. It's clearly been made by people who've played a lot of Necromunda and are big fans of it.
We will see. There is only so much space gaming time. So
exactly. I mean, like with that's like a legacy game. So I will use the Gene Stealer cult models as a Dalac gang. When the Dalac models turn up, I will get them. And that's my gang. That's what I'll play doing this. You could do, so I said to Darren, like, we could certainly organise, like, have a Necromunda day. That's that kind of game system for that.
Right.
You know, where you just all turn up and bring a gang and they develop on the go. Like, they literally develop on the go. You learn skill. Your guys learn skills mid-game and injuries mid-game. They're not always after now. It's, you know, and the way that you activate one thing, I go, you go, is totally different. Yeah,
we'll see.
Really nice.
It's more inspiring than Shadespire, so that's good.
Well, yeah, because it's got the legacy and the models look fantastic as well. They've really pushed what those gangs actually are. Like they've got much more on design of them. Like,
okay.
The gangs are carrying unique weapons, all of them. Like, because of what their house does.
Right.
So
okay.
So Goliath, for all that steel riveting, have.
Rivet guns
and hammers and stuff. While the Eshers, who are like gas, like production, they have like gas grenades and that kind of weapons. And plus, they look like punks. You know, like.
Yeah, cool. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Right, excellent. Was that it for balls?
I mean, I could say a lot more, but I get criticised for talking too much.
Well, let's have a look at the old 10 minutes. It's not too bad for you, sir. 10 minutes.
Well, it's definitely going to be more, but I will limit myself.
So. Okay, giant size Christmas issue of White Dwarf, has that come recently?
Yes, that has just turned up yesterday. The most interesting thing for me there is it's got Gene Stealer cult rules for Space Hulk.
To play in?
Yeah.
Rather than Marines?
No, so it's Marines
against
versus
the Marines.
Marines versus Gene Stealer
cult. That sounds right up your street.
Yeah, look at it.
Right up your street.
Brilliant article.
This is what they used to do kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just little bolt-ons to games.
Yep.
But somebody's obviously, very nice.
Yep. So
a scenario.
A scenario using them, and rules for using them in any scenario. And so when we're running through Space Hulk, that's what we can do as well.
Wow! Look at that.
Yeah, really, really massively opens up the replayable value of Space Hulk. I mean, the cultists themselves, the minor characters, are you've got to get lucky to kill a space Terminator with them.
Well, they're not, the other guys were me in close combat.
I need you to come pick me up. Right. I got bit by a fucking disease dog,
goddammit. You were talking about the White Dwarf.
Yeah, yeah.
You got some free shiver on the front.
Yeah, like, they... Like, you know, the best issues are always when they're giving away something for free. And what are they giving away? Like, some random model, fair enough. But in that, on that set, they've given you loads of cards for, like, different game systems. Like Blood Bowl, Shadespire, Warmer Quest. Like, and they're all, like, little supplements. I mean, that's what you want in that magazine, isn't it? Basically, supplements to current games.
Yeah, yeah. Little bits of extra add-ons.
Yeah, because that article, Space Hulk, means that roughly the replayable value of Space Hulk has shot up. Because you can change the forces now. Like, I can use Gene Stealer Cult instead.
Who are these Elfham Eagles? Are they
supposed to be
Pro
Elves?
That's the
new Blood Bowl team. Pro Elves, yeah. They are Pro Elves. They just, that's what they're called.
Slightly less 80s.
Yeah, more up to date. But I tell you, everything they're kicking out, like the Blood Bowl models look great. Like,
cheap enough, isn't it? You get 10 for 20 quid.
Yeah, yeah, and that's their price, so you'd probably get it for less.
But I don't know if you'd find it anywhere stock.
But I'm just saying...
Well, 20 quid's not
for 12 models, yeah. Well, considering what it is when that's the team, yeah.
Well, you probably need two packs because you need more catchers or more blitzers.
But I mean, yeah, they might sell them like as a blister or something.
Hey, you don't need to worry if you're only paying £20 for 12 models.
Yeah,
yeah, well done. Mm-hmm. Well done, GW. Started the year, finished the year, all doing well.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from the silver, what's that, Shadespire thing? That was only Black Mark. Only Black Mark.
It probably is. Well, I haven't tried it yet, but I imagine it's a good game. It
sucks balls.
Anyway,
sucks donkey
so
balls.
It says Magic the Gathering.
Magic. It's always magic. It's always magic. I've been organising my cards while I've been at home freezing to death, and I've bought big containers that hold 5,000 cards, and I've filled four of them. So that's 20,000 cards. That's a lot of pissing cards. So, and they're all sorted into.
I bet they are.
They are. That's what I've been doing, sorting cards.
What, have you sorted by price or by like?
No, if I see anything worth money, I pull them out on eBay. Just bulk stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching The Expanse, which I was put onto by Eric, which is very good.
I've been watching The Punisher.
I've tried to watch it. It's a bit slow for me.
Yeah, it is actually. The first episode was good, and I'm like, there's not enough violence lately. Maybe it comes all later.
I think that's the problem. I haven't liked any of these Marvel Universe at all. Any of the TV series.
Because I really like the concept of the Punisher.
Yeah, and me.
I don't know. I'll give it another couple more episodes before I'll be like...
I think I got to four and I was getting bogged down. I was going, There's like... There's a short story video thing on YouTube of the Punisher going to a laundrette. Have you seen that?
No. What's that? Okay, go on.
Yeah, you've got to watch it on YouTube. Okay. It's like a short movie.
Well, animated?
No, live action.
Ah.
It was fantastic. It's like official... I don't know what it was for. It was after Warzone, but before this TV series.
So who's playing the Punisher?
The guy from the first Punisher.
Oh, Tom Jane?
Was that who it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Not the guy from...
Oh, hang on. Oh, Dolph Lundgren?
No, not that Punisher. The first reboot of The Punisher had an actor that I don't really know who he is. He's not been in very much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the second time it was a guy from Rome and loads of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the guy who played him in the middle one, not Dolph Lundgren, not the guy from Rome.
Yeah, yeah. I think
he's in
Tom Jane, yeah.
And he was fantastic. And it was superb.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so
he's just going to wash his clothes.
Yeah, and he's just witnessing bad things and he's trying not to get involved, and then he obviously gets involved and cleans house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love The Punisher. I love the whole thing. It's just a bit fucking boring. Mm. I think he suits the movie because you just want action, bit of backstory, bam.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little confused by this Punisher CV series because it's like, it starts out with him having, it starts out fantastically, the first episode, because he's finishing off the people that did him wrong.
Yeah.
And he snipes a guy in Mexico from America. Like
Over
the border. That's brilliant. Like the Mexican pulls out of his car. He's in over the border, and he's like, "Fuck you, Punisher! I got away. I'm in Mexico, yeah." And he's like, "Right, you need a reward. You're the last little guy in the cartels." And he's like, "Yeah." And he's getting like a woman seeing to him, and then he gets shot. And the bullet fires, and it's like takes seconds of travel, and he dies mid, whatever. And he's in El Paso, Texas, and he's shot him. And I was like, "That's cool." That's really cool.
I'm not saying, The Punisher, there's so much you can do with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's fantastic. But, so I've been trying to watch that, but The Expanse is good. I'll put you onto that, that's good.
Okay.
That's like,
apparently Daredevil's the best one of these.
No, I can't do that one either, it's so fucking boring. I hate lawyers.
Yeah.
I just can't stand them.
Because Daredevil's not an interesting character, is he?
Not really. He's blind, that's his
lawyer.
Back. Yeah, big deal.
So what?
Yeah. You can see in 3D like some kind of fucking dolphin. I don't get him. He doesn't do anything to me, but people rave about it.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's a little darker.
Yeah.
But I like Deadpool. I like go way off the edge. If it's either going to be like, I can watch it with my family.
Yeah.
Or it's like Deadpool. Did you see the video for the trailer for Deadpool?
I did, yeah.
With the wet painting.
Like Bob Ross. Yeah, it looks like, just whip that on there. Like, it's so...
whacking it off.
Oh, look at all that snow. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Get so high.
I hope it's good. Yeah. I hope it's not going to be a letdown.
No, I think he's too invested in it, isn't he? What's his name? Ryan Reynolds. He's too invested in that movie. Like, because it was basically him that made it.
Same, please, please. Yeah. Don't let it be that guy out of X-Men 3 or whatever it was.
Yeah, like, so he kept on at it. And I think he's too... Yeah, it'd be too funny. He's just got that sense of comedy perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Right, that's enough shibber shabber. So what have I been saying I did? Not much.
That's it.
Watching The Expanse. Sorting magic cards.
We're on to KR sponsorship.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So we're back and we're talking Wagon Train.
Wagon Train!
It was good!
Right about!
It was good. So, what did we do?
Shall I explain the scenario?
You could do that, sir. That would be good.
So, Wagon Train, which is on page 86, the last scenario of the four, it says, a supply wagon train escorted by a patrol force is suddenly ambushed by the enemy. The defender's task is to protect and get as many wagons as possible to safety. The attacker's aim is to destroy the wagon and loot them for bounty. Scenario is designed for 2,000 points. So, you basically have to set up a road where you have six wagons along the road up to halfway up the table, and they've got to travel a long ways down half the table to get off.
Yeah.
They can move once automatically in the command phase 20 centimetres down the road. You can order them, but you can order them then back away the other way up the road if you wanted to, 20, or then go 10 centimetres cross country. But they can't have more than two orders. So really...
They can't have more than one order, is it?
Yeah, they can't. Yes, then they can't have a second order.
Yeah.
So you're kind of limited there by... They will go forward, fine, and you've only got 6 to 8 turns, so they need to be going forward every
Especially
turn.
The ones at the back, if you're going to get them off.
Yeah, if you're going to get them off. And they're doing that automatically, which is good, because you'd have too many orders to give otherwise. But if you cut off cross-country, you're kind of giving up the chance of saving them, if you do that.
Well, I think... Yeah, we'll talk about tactics later. But
A wagon can be destroyed or destroyed and looted. A wagon is destroyed when at least one attack from shooting, magic, or close combat is inflicted. A unit in contact with the wagon cannot attack it if it's engaged in close combat by something else.
Yeah.
And to loot a wagon, the enemy must destroy it in close combat and then remain basically still, remain on its own, and remain in touch with it, which is effectively not moving in its next command phase. Only infantry and carrier can loot this, and it can only score the points if it survives as well.
So maybe what you'd imagine, if you defeat it in combat, then you could reform. As long as you're still touching it.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
So it's 6 to 8 turns, and the victory points are 2 points for breaking the enemy, 1 point for the attacker for every wagon destroyed in close combat only.
That's fair.
3 points for the attacker if they loot a wagon and that unit that looted the wagon survives.
Yeah.
1 point for the defender for every non-destroyed wagon, and 3 points for the defender for every wagon saved. Saved is getting them off the table. So the defender starts up basically 6-0 up because all the wagons are alive. Defender starts winning. And that's the scenario. And the defender sets up first, then the attacker, which is 10 centimetres on either long edge, and the defender goes first.
So there was a lot going on in this scenario, and tactics that I thought would work didn't, and tactics that I... if I replayed it, I'd play differently, build a different army list.
Definitely. I mean, straight away, I thought that if they can be destroyed by magic, then that's too vulnerable. But we did realise playing it that they're not going to get any points for that either.
It does reduce the total amount of points available. So as we were playing the game, do you want to talk about how the game went?
Yeah, totally. So I used a Dogs of War army. And Barry used an Empire army, which seemed about quite right. Should we quickly run through our list?
Yeah, if you like.
So my Dogs of War army was 8 units of pikemen, 4 units of crossbowmen, so then 2 units of ogres, 3 units of knights, 2 Galloper Gun units, a giant, and a unit of birdmen.
Well.
And then a general hero, a pay... Well, really 2 heroes, and a wizard. I forgot about the paymaster's pay wagon thing, so...
You forgot to pay the points.
Pay the points for that. And I got a Dispel Scroll and a 5-point magic item. That was... My breakpoint was 11.
It was a fine list, sir.
Yeah, it was. So that was...
It's a little bit of everything in the old port tradition.
Yeah, that was... well, not quite, because the Dogs of War Army is a massive selection. This is the army that I acquired off the last tournament, and it's lovely too. Looks
the
nice.
eight spiky pikies.
Spiky pikies.
I didn't really want to fight them. I don't think I fought them all game.
So, yeah, they're an interesting unit.
Halberdiers, I had 12 units. Quantity. Mm-hmm. 4 crossbowmen, and they were all set in brigades. So crossbow on the front, and then the halberdiers in column behind. Yep. We had 4 knights. We had 2 hellblaster, 2 cannon. The more I use hellblaster, the less I am... liking it, even with his new rules. Before his new rules, it must have been absolute dross.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
like literally unplayable shit. Because it's like a cannon is what 875.
Cannon
85.
85.
And this thing is 50, and it does literally nothing, unless it's being charged, and then there's a chance it might do something.
Yeah.
Or chance it kills itself or whatever.
Yeah.
God damn, they're bad. Right, so 2 hellbusters, 2 cannons, that's my artillery brigade. We had a steam tank who did good work,
mincing
around. This is where I went wrong. I had 1 general, obviously, a hero on a griffin with a sword of fate, and 2 wizards, one with a dispel scroll.
Yeah.
So I had a general, 1 hero, and 2 leadership 7. And I was spread out a lot across the whole table.
Yeah, because if you should be on both sides of the table.
Which I want, support like, deployed.
Basically, we realised setting up that if Barry all went all only on one side, then all I would have to do is I would forget going across and I would have the wagons moving away from him.
To another corner.
To another corner, and I would just defend. And I don't need to attack him, and I'm 6-0 up. Yeah.
But that may be the way to win as a defender. You just don't bother.
Don't try to get the wagons across.
You just, like, you're a dwarf, you just get around the wagons.
Yeah.
Circle the wagons.
Circle the wagons.
Maybe going across the border was a mistake.
I don't know, but it seemed the right thing to do, so that's why I did it.
So I put all my 4 brigades of infantry plus my artillery brigade on one side, and on the other side I put my steam tank and my cannon, my knights, run by the griffin hero.
Yep.
And that was the pincer that we were going to try and catch him in.
Yep. Head meter, basically you want something quick to get onto that road to stop, so my chariots are then... that shuts down them going forward.
Yeah, shuts down the wagons. Mm-hmm. So Paul had an amazing first turn.
Not good.
I think he moved 2 little things.
Yeah, not good. No, never mind.
Yeah, and then I managed to delete a unit of ogres.
Yeah.
Because Paul again set them up in column and cannon just vaporised them.
My deployment zone of 40 by 90. With the road bisecting it down the middle. So I want stuff either side. It was quite limited. Like, I had to be in the formations I was because of the deployment zone.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fair dinkum. He was unlucky he didn't get an order off on them, so he couldn't change formation.
Yeah.
Just had to plod them forward. That was about the only thing my cannons did of any real significance is delete a unit of ogres. I think they hit, what was it, 11? He got 11 hits. And the drive back was like obviously horrific, but there was like one left even without the drive back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So turn 2, what happened turn 2, sir? For you.
Right. I mean, I tried. The problem is as the defender, I'm reactive rather than proactive. And I was like, right. And I was thinking about, okay, so what do I do with these wagons? And I wanted to play the scenario probably as it should be played, because it was like us testing this for the first time. And so even though, like I said to Barry, I think the magic problem is an issue, but we'll play it.
So what we were worried about was, like, I've had wizards, I could teleport in and then ball of flame along the line and kill multiple things.
Yeah, like the dragon in Game of Thrones. Yeah, when it burns up the...
And I did try it multiple times, but guess what?
Yeah.
It didn't do anything.
It didn't, the dice...
And guess who did it? Paul did it later in the game.
But, like, no, that's because the dice didn't let you. But
it's true.
But theoretically, that is really sound. I mean, I came up with a defensive tactic of then putting the wagons on either side of the road.
Like offset.
So he couldn't catch them all in one
just
move.
Just a couple.
But still, that's... I mean, that is really strong. I don't know. We'd have to wonder whether we should... That should be allowed.
Well, you don't get any points for it, do you?
Well, you don't, but if you've taken away all the wagons, then it's just a simple who breaks who gate.
I think it's quite difficult to take away the wagon. Because you could have hidden some wagons. Every wagon that survives is 1 point to you.
Yeah, it's 1 point,
So if you think of it like a Bretonian brake, if you only expose a certain amount of the brake, then you can't lose.
I suppose,
all you can do is draw.
Yeah, I suppose if I kept back three, that meant if I was broken, I'd give you 2 points and I'd win.
As long as you didn't allow anyone to be looted or killed in combat.
Yeah, of course.
As long as they were just shot. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of tactics here. It looks quite simple on the surface, but there's quite a lot going on underneath.
So there's several ways to play it, definitely.
So the game didn't go terribly long. What we did have was... one personal highlight was I had a unit of two crossbowmen on a hill supported by three halberdiers that were charged by a unit of three ogres. And they supported charged with...
With some crossbowmen behind.
Crossbowmen behind. And the ogres bounced.
Yeah.
In fact, they lost.
Yeah.
They lost 5-4. I didn't follow up.
Yeah. Why would you?
They lost a stand.
Yeah.
They got pushed back.
They weren't paid enough. damn ogres.
And later in the game, Paul put a wizard along...
Oh, that was good. That was my
two
highlight.
Full brigades.
Yeah.
And he hit...
Ball of flame.
Went off.
And it, with Barry refusing to make way and stuff, basically both brigades were confused.
It was funny. There was like...
Six units were confused.
Yeah, he took a stand off one.
Yeah, took a stand
and
off one.
And six units confused.
Because I realised, oh my God, he's going to catch my wagons. That was the only defence I had at that point on that side, because my knights had gone to hell. So, it worked. It worked perfectly. I was like...
I set up, so he's coming along the road, and I've set up, so all my stuff's coming in front of him on the road, to try and catch his stuff. So I guess the tactic would be don't expose enough... too much stuff to the road. I don't know how you stop it getting pinged off with magic laser. That's quite difficult. You can stop the shooting by not making it that it
closes. Yeah, because I mean, like, because you have to take that it's intended that these wagons are pieces, are stands like anything else, so they will only be shot at if they're the closest model, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and that's where magic is good, because it's flexible, because you don't have to. And I was why I said, well, hang on, what if he just comes in and snipes them all? But then we realised you weren't getting points for that. And I was like, oh, okay, that actually, all right. That's the main flaw I saw, was maybe perhaps not there. But yeah, it was cool. I mean,
the giant did well. Paul likes his giant.
He did nothing. 150 points of liability.
The best thing I can say is he didn't hurt you.
Yeah. I just want him to do well. I just want to have a game where this giant just... crushes a brigade by himself.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
But the galloper guns were very good.
Yeah.
Because they could still half move his 10.
Yeah, so I was finding, though they're shorter range of 40, I was assuming some failed orders with them, and that 10 and 40 was still putting them into range of where I wanted them to be, which was... So actually, they had a place.
They did more work than my cannons
in the
game.
But, I mean, I had targets to shoot at all the time. It wasn't like I was ever denied a target. I mean, I managed your artillery game once with my birdmen to like give you negatives command and make the you fire at them. So it wasn't, I had a tool that I gave you there to do that. So.
And they had the little shoot. They had a little shoot at the birdmen.
They could have got taken a cannon stand, but they didn't. But they could have done. Mm-hmm.
So all in all, I think the scenario worked better than I expected.
Yes.
I think there's definitely replay value, and I think it might be... When you first look at it, you go, oh, this scenario is like really easy, or it's really hard for the defender to defend. You've just got to make sure you're defending the right pieces.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, like the defending the village one, I don't think that they are tournament scenarios yet, but they are good fun to play. You want to play some scenarios. It is interesting. Like, I mean, it looked thematically cool. Like if you modelled up some wagons to suit your army and stuff, and like, or some armies that actually would have wagons. I suppose they could have.
Dogs of War would definitely have wagons.
Oh yeah, totally. Like they're probably the most wagony army going. But I suppose in any other evil army, you could always just say they're like capped captives or something.
Luke, yeah, slaves.
Slaves, you know, like, they're not wagons, they're like lines of chain gangs of your people. You know, like,
we just have to kill them, though.
Yeah. They're going off to be sacrificed.
Putting them after their misery.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're already lost. Like, you know, but, so, I really enjoyed it.
I think it was good. Mm-hmm. I think it worked, yeah, as I say, it worked better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to get the Empire out. It's nice to see Dogs of War.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think I'm going to have to try and get stuck into those pikemen next time, but they look intimidating. I don't know if they are actually intimidating to fight. They certainly weren't previously.
No.
Because you just send your horses in and they just vaporise them.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pikemen counters defended against charging cavalry or chariots to the front. Only in the first round of combat.
I mean,
gotcha.
I can't argue.
No, but that's the classic thing. Is it like in the Napoleonics and stuff? Or no, maybe not Napoleon. But you just—that's
what they were invented for.
You just can't. The horses can't charge them like to the front to a formed unit.
And chariots as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
horses
exactly.
And chariots.
Well, they'd just be as equally damaged when they buy it.
Mm-hmm. So they're interesting. They're expensive. They've only got 6 up armour.
Yeah, but if they had 5 up armour, then they'd be way too good. They're right. They're the right points to rules to unit. They are strangely good at attacking infantry, but you've got to remember that they're very hard to get supported. Like, your infantry, which has a lot or comes to a combat supported, pikemen don't. So that's
well, if you just
remember.
Look at them mm-hmm. as dogs with 6 up armour.
Yeah.
When it comes to fighting against infantry, because that's what they are.
Yeah,
they're based like hounds, chaos hounds, but they've got 6 up armour.
Based like cavalry. Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show you how fucking cheap chaos hounds were. Because these are 60 points and they've got... Yeah. All they've got is 6 up armour.
6 up armour.
Mm-hmm. And they've got...
no other rules that would matter.
They don't move 30 or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They move less.
Move less. Right, okay, good. So what's next on the list, sir? That was a good game.
Says, what are our plans for the next game? I mean, I'd like to still like to play...
The final.
The final on
YouTube.
But
that's
got
to go on YouTube, yeah. Yeah, cool. So we need someone warm to do that.
We do. Like, okay, so Blackgate Miniatures.
Okay, so we've had some interesting news. Uh-huh. I haven't publicised it yet. It'll go up, hopefully, on the Kickstarter tomorrow. That all the sculpts are in.
And they look good.
That's good. So we went for 12 green links, 12 individual sculpts.
Personally, I think Barry should have done a Goblin King.
I don't really like the look of him. He doesn't look very green,
from Labyrinth.
Does he?
No, that's the point. Like, David Bowie was not a goblin, and yet he was the Goblin King.
It's over my head. I never watched Labyrinth. Some people love it, but I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. That's the one with, what's the kid's
Jennifer
name?
Jennifer Connelly.
Is there a kid in Labyrinth?
The baby?
Yeah, what's his name?
He's,
Elliot. No,
he's trying
Elliot.
To get... Oh, Christ, what's the baby's name? Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A baby called something.
Yeah.
So, 12 of those little green links.
Yes.
How many do you reckon should be on a base? 8?
8.
So that's 24 in a pack.
8, 16, 24. Yeah.
Okay. Well, some of them look...
Because with the way they're based and the way you'd want them to be dynamic, because they're not a formed unit. Like, they're not. They wouldn't be ranks, would they?
GW used to have it where you have one in front of the other and they're kind of linked together.
No.
We're shooting into each other's heads. And
no,
stuff.
No, no. I always like. That's why these crossbowmen, for example, are clipped off to be like formed up like that.
I see what you've done. So you've lost one. You got 7 on the
right. Yeah. Because they were shooting each other in the back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that would allow you to reorganise the crouching guys to be at the front and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be similar to that. So it'd be like 8 for a base.
But eight is perfect. Yeah, you couldn't do 10. Like, you would be run out of space.
And a couple of them are kind of e-commandy. One's got like a little
One's got a helmet
stick.
On a stick.
Yeah, one. One looks like a hero, if there's such a thing.
Yeah.
And one's got maybe like some kind of musical instrument. So we'll see. Yep. I'll try not to put too many of those in.
There's a command group you can make.
For sure. And then we've got... what else we got? We got an extra Yeti and an extra Savagekin.
Yeah.
Which were specials of the sculptor because there was no more art available for them, so you just had to dream something up.
Yeah.
So he dreamt something up.
Yeah.
That was just like because I wasn't happy only having 3 models and the same model repeated on each of the stands. So. Mm-hmm. Just a bit of variety.
So one of them now is twerking.
A twerking Yeti. I mean, he's kind of. I don't know how to describe him. He's kind of roaring.
He's twerking. He's,
from the front, he's Well, you'll see. You'll see. I'll put some pictures up tomorrow. Or today, if you're listening to this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we've got Dota Steam. We've got the Big Boss.
Yes.
The Big Boss Ogre. That's a freebie. And
it's kind of like the army on the table.
Oh, we've got the big and the mammoths, of course.
Yeah.
So we've got the mammoth and a couple of heads and the three riders, and then we got the shaman on a mammoth and the hero on a mammoth.
It's going to look amazing.
And then we've got one last thing. What was the last thing? Oh, Jesus! The junglobber.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Junglobber. Mm-hmm. I mean, man alive, that's a lot bigger than I anticipated, like, work wise. It was like the thing I charged the least for, and I promise this is going to cost way more than anything else. It's going to need like four moulds and a million pieces. And,
oh well.
You live and learn. It swings and roundabouts. The greenlings are small. Who cares?
Yeah.
So I think when that goes to retail, that will be like 10 quid rather than 6 quid.
Cause makes sense, yeah.
Yes, it's massive. But that'll be cool. It just about fits on two 40 by 20s. Yep. The wheels overhang slightly, but it's because the mammoth's wide and the stuff has to be wider than the mammoth because of the way that things attach.
It's all right.
But you'll see them tomorrow. This is good news, but it means that I've got a lot of moulding stuff to do now. There's one in the pipe. There's one in the pot now.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously you do my ones first, won't you? So like,
it's ready now. No, it's not ready. I've got to do masters for everything. Then I've got to do production moulds for everything. Then I've got to do the production. At least we're on. At least the process has moved on. It's all down to me now.
Exactly.
Nobody else to wait for. No more organising magic cards.
Yeah.
Now I've received these.
Yep.
So Blackgate Miniatures moved on. So happy days, happy days.
Fantastic. I mean, great. If you need a hand, Barry, obviously, I can help you. Hazel's got little fingers, little nimble little fingers.
It might not be nimble. It might be too nimble.
so she can help you get all in the little parts. You know?
Nibbly, gribbly. Right, so what's next on our list?
UK GT update.
Oh, wow.
So, I have here the tournament pack for the London Grand Tournament. And the organiser, the guys
who run. How many you sold?
Yes, they've given me a heads up on how many had sold, and that was plenty to make it a four round event.
Wow.
So if we can continue to sell the tickets, because I'm not getting updated very regularly, because obviously they're busy people.
Yep.
That's fine. But if it keeps going, it'll be a five round event. Like if we keep selling some more tickets,
that'd be fantastic. And then that's it. We cap at 32. Yeah.
32 is the cap.
Yeah.
Yes. As for convention, I don't know if that's capped, like the convention pass. That I have no idea, but I know that they're already rated as the biggest independent like 40k tournament aside from one in America, that kind of thing. So they might have sold out. Other events there might, but there's a lot of other events, but I don't know their sales. But with Warmaster, we're definitely in four rounds, and we're trying to push it to five.
Excellent. Fantastic.
If it's four rounds, it'd be two rounds each day, and maybe a casual round if you wanted it. You know, like, or whatever, or times yourself.
Like later starts. That's always nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be a bit of a rush in the morning to get
there. Yeah, exactly. I'll be very, if that's the state we're in when we begin, I'll be very honest with people. I'll be like, right, this is what we got. What do people want to do? You know, what time do people want to start tomorrow, etc., if that's the case.
Lunchtime.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd rather miss the early round and then have the two lunchtime and like early evening rounds.
So I would just quickly run through my tournament pack.
Okay, yeah,
so this is basically a base, very much of Winter Roller, but I'll just go through it. So the introduction has...
Did they put all the graphics onto it?
They did, yeah. Wow. So the introduction goes on about what the London Grand Tournament is, etc. Inquiries, that's me, I'm the organiser, thanks very much. Gets promoted, also promotes our podcast, which is very nice, because it's brought to you by the Warmaster Podcast. On the front here.
Wow.
Yeah. Fantastic. So that's our name. Hopefully people realise that's a podcast about Warmaster. So, general info, when is it, where is it, or etc, etc, etc. The Olympic, Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. How about that for a title?
It's nice.
Mm-hmm. Not any queen, our queen, Olympic Park. Now the timings...
Your queen, mate.
The timings are obviously
queen.
There.
I didn't vote for her.
Chap, you don't vote for queens.
So, how did she
become
queen?
We've got Monty Python. So,
I didn't vote for you.
Well, that's no reason that way to have a democracy. You know, you can't expect to rule like grand states by swords out of ponds.
Some watery bit. And is you a sword?
Right, anyway. So the event timings, obviously, for the rounds are designed off based off a five-round event. But each round will be 2.5 hours.
Okay.
hour and a quarter each on the death clock. So a starting time of 10 o'clock is the first game on the Saturday. That's obviously a bit earlier, is registration and welcome speech. I've got 15 minutes to fill. I don't know if I've built that, really. And then the they've written Saturday twice. Okay, well, clearly that means Sunday. Yeah, like May, yeah, the 20th. The round four begins at 9:30. Yeah. What you need to bring. Army selection.
Did a good
box.
Job here, man.
Yeah, like modelling paintings. This is all like my stuff. Don'ts about sportsmanship, about timekeeping, about first round pairings and subsequent pairings, it being a Swiss event. Then scenery, basically there's a set standard of three hills, three woods and something else where possible, which I will dictate.
Okay.
So your seat, your tables are fixed, that is the, and but they should all be fair.
They're going to provide the terrain.
That is to be negotiated. I mean, okay. They can make a lot of terrain.
Well, do it then.
Yeah. So, but this is obviously something to talk to them.
Because then we can have set terrain.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's probably the best way to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, the terrain can be slightly different or whatever, but it has to be the same to keep
Clean. I mean, in their 40K events, like their criticism, I'm told, of previous year that their terrain quality was fine, adequate, but not great.
So they're
making
40K's
that, but they're making that their priority now.
40K, I mean, the whole table needs to be covered in terrain that's 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
I mean, their expectations are unrealistic in 40K.
Exactly. So these five scenarios listed are scenario 1 and 5, a pitch battle. Turn up, kill the enemy, win.
Hooray!
Scenario 2 will be meeting engagement.
That's the crackers one.
Crackers one. Scenario 3 is taking hold, so your objectives.
Yay!
Scenario 4 is battle for the tower or some other feature, which is basically control the thing in the middle of the table.
Excellent.
Now, what we've done is we've scaled the points to be out of 10.
So it's consistent.
So
victory
it's consistent,
points.
Yeah. Which is, so this is how Winter Roller 18, and this is different from Winter Roller 17, is that all the scenarios are out of 10 points. So the best result you can get is 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 each round.
50. That's how many
if it's five games, 50.
50.
And then, and everything else in between. I mean, obviously, it'll be hard to stop your opponent in some of the scenarios scoring some points. They are actually going to roll dice.
They're playing, aren't they?
They're playing, but that's the best result that you can walk away with.
Okay.
Straight 50. So everything will be out of 50. And then it just gives the maps at the back about, like, for the scenario, so it's all nice and clear.
Very nice.
Yeah, like, and working out who is won. So just go for that. The end of the game, both players will work out the result, agree upon it, and hand the result and speak the result to the TO. Working out who has won, best general is first, second, third based on the total number of wins, ties broken by strength of schedule, which will be your tournament points, essentially. Most sporting, the player receives the most nominations for the award, and best painted, the player with the best painted army determined by the head judge, which I suppose is me.
How's ties done on strength of schedule if you've got
this is generic, put in, and in my opening speech I'll explain how that is going to
reminder. What does it say? Reminder.
Paul's awesome. Remember, this is a gaming pack that provides only information you need to play in that Warmaster one.
Yeah,
okay. I will obviously be able to bring prize support. And prize support as well will be given by the organisers.
Wow, be good.
So expect the normal stuff that we give out of prize support and other things as well. I think that when I last communicate with KR, they'll probably want to give a lot to this because this is the big event of the year.
Is the KR stuff here?
Yes, it is. But I imagine they'll want to give more than that as well because it's a venue which has got a lot of people attending it.
Excellent. Yep. Fantastic news. Well,
yeah, exactly. So every month I will promote it again. I will stick it up on the Facebook group saying, who wants to go to this event?
Does this mean that if you're running this one, does this mean I'm running the one in January? Is that how?
Up to you, Barry, really. I mean, like, I've bought a ticket to both, like, so I'm securing that spare player if needed. Wait and see, really. I'd rather play than organise, but I think with this one, the London Grand Tournament, it's going to need to be me.
Well, that's true, so I'll have to do the January one. Hey, well, that's all right. I don't mind.
Yeah.
So I'll be the spare player for this one, then?
Well, that's me.
We can't be the spare player if you're running it.
I can. Yeah. No, I don't want to deny. I don't deny you the fun. I mean, if I'm the spare player, whoever wins again, I can do that easily enough. Yeah, because I'll only be playing the bottom player anyway.
easy. Jim did it.
Yeah, like, I'm not playing the top player.
Okay, well, I'm quite happy to deal with that in January.
I mean, because both of us are good enough. I mean, we're effectively as rules judges as is it going to be, aren't there?
Well, unless Alice just comes
in. Yeah, unless Alice
or Rudd.
Yeah, like, so...
They seem to know the rules.
Yeah, they seem to. Yeah, like, so, between you and I mean, you don't need a separate spare player. It's the same thing.
You're good?
Mm-hmm. Because when you're playing that...
I'll tell you what to do, then. If you're going to do that, you need to have result slips. So that they don't just give you... Because when I do my thing, club every Monday night, the hardest thing is I'm playing a game and people are shouting results at me. So I'm trying to concentrate on my game and writing results, and you make mistakes entering the results. So let's have like a set of results.
The result slip should be quite simple because it's simply a 10-0 score.
Yeah,
each.
But then... So both players fill the result in and then they both sign it. Yeah. And then you've just got a set of slips.
It's easy.
So if you need to go back because you've made a mistake, you've got a paper trail.
Yeah.
Because it's not... You don't know you've made a mistake until... Yeah. The end of the tournament, and then somebody says, "Oh, I won round one," and then the whole fucking thing falls apart.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, result slips.
That'll be the way to.
And I'll do that for January.
Yeah.
So that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll try it on January.
Then you can be a spare player and the tournament organizer.
That's the way we'll do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fine. Happy days.
Oh, I should also say for January, tons have come from Polar Fox.
Oh. Well done, Mr. Polar Fox.
Yeah.
So that's Bell out there in bloody Siberia. I mean, we're moaning about being cold. We don't even know the meaning of the word cold.
Yeah. 15 blisters.
Jesus, wet. Mm-hmm. 15.
Of mostly character packs, but there's some, you know, of Tomb Kings and Orcs and Goblins you could use them for.
Orcs and Goblins?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I need an Empire Wizard from somewhere, but they're not from here.
Yeah.
Right, you don't need to give all that away in January because you've got the KR stuff.
We can put
some of this stuff at the GT as well.
I might, we'll see. Yeah, because I'm still waiting for Manistrom Millistrom. I think I'm always like to give something to away to everybody, so maybe everybody will get a random pick.
Oh, you always do that because I'll get a book of. A raffle ticket. You give them a raffle ticket. Not everybody gets one, but everybody gets a chance again.
Anyone who hasn't won a prize already gets a blister.
Something.
Yeah.
Or gets a chance to win a blister. Or two. Uh-huh. Very nice, sir. Well done. You're not shy coming forward. That's a good thing when it comes to organising events.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's,
right, that's fantastic.
It's got to be. That's the thing. It's like, it's got to. You know, all we can do, as I said before, is try to run the event that we want to run. And this. Steamroller Winter, sorry, not Steamroller. Winter Roller 18, and which is also this
Warmaster World Championship.
World Championship. That's as close as we've gotten it.
That's
so
as American
far.
As you can get, mate.
I did not choose that title.
We're calling it the World Championship.
I did not choose it. I do know a Swede's coming. And a few other people abroad.
Well, anybody outside Britain makes it world.
Yeah.
Americans call it world. They don't
Christoph's
even have
coming, apparently.
They don't even have anybody outside
Christoph
America.
Will want a curry like and beer.
No? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Abbey beer's coming. Abbey. Belgian beer's very nice. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's fantastic. So we're going to crack on now. It's nearly 1 o'clock.
Contact details, Facebook page or warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yeah, and that was Warmaster Podcast.
79.
79. Wagon Train, Paul Barry.
See you later.
Next week. Bye.
Would you like to know more?